Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
858.
Sorry.
I like that.
Is that the ocean? Are you playing a video game now? We're not done yet.
I was actually pulling up this band where a dog sings vocals to heavy metal music.
Pug Destroyer? Is it Pug Destroyer?
No.
Pug Destroyer. That's more metal.
I can't read it because it's metal.
Sure. No, that's all right.
Thanks for the intro, Angel.
Perfect. That's the start of the episode. I'm Dan Nalen, and you've tuned into a very special episode of the Soundwaves from the Underground podcast, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake City Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. On this episode, we have the entirety of the editorial staff, all the regulars of Slug Magazine here in the room. We're doing the end of the year all local music podcast where we're all going to discuss our favorites from the local bands and artists here around Utah. Why don't we start with Miss Angela Brown?
Hey.
Hi. Tell us who you picked and tell us a bit about why you picked these guys.
Sure. I picked a band out of Provo called Baby Ghosts. They're a cuddlecore band, kind of reminiscent of that 90s genre bands like Cub, Bunny Grunt, Bill and Sebastian. And they just sing about really kind of fun, I was going to say lackadaisical, but that's the wrong word. They're really kind of fun, upbeat, and take serious themes and make them lighthearted.
Super poppy
cute.
And fun.
Super
I love
cute.
The cuddlecore name. That's
something it. You want to eat lots of sugar to and cuddle with your best friend. It's super, super fun, upbeat, good music, and I fell in love with these guys earlier this year. I believe, actually, Gavin, I think you introduced me to Baby Ghosts.
Yeah.
And they've got a really fun cover that features an anime design, which kind of drew me in at first, and then once I heard their female vocals and just kind of their fun pop sensibilities, I couldn't stop listening. So
irresistible.
Super irresistible. And then I had an opportunity to see them play in Provo at Muse Music, and it was fun to see them in their stomping grounds with their friends and family and fans from Utah County, and it was actually more like a hardcore show. It was really fun. I mean, crowd surfing and lots of feet in the air and like moshing, and it was, but all to fun, lighthearted music.
Yeah, yeah. Super catchy.
So it was great. And then I actually had another opportunity to see them play at the Shred Shed in Salt Lake City.
Oh, nice.
And I think everyone in this room, with the exception of you, Dan.
Damn it.
No.
Yeah, why weren't you there?
I know. Now I'm pissed because I've been listening to them all this week, and I'm like, this is totally up my alley. That's not so much the cuddling part, but the super poppy, punky girl vocals. That's totally stuff I love.
Exactly. So. Well, and they've got this... they've got a guitar ringer, too. They've got this... their guitar player, he's also in a band called Desert Noises, but when you see them play live, you'll see what I mean by ringer. He's just incredible.
The ace of the band.
Yeah, you got it.
He's crazy. Like, I saw him wandering around the show before they played, and I just thought he was, you know, just some guy with long hair and, you know, silly-looking jeans.
But then,
when he got on stage, and he was just crazy. He ripped the guitar. It was amazing, yeah. He's actually the only one in the band who doesn't sing, but he totally doesn't have to.
And that's Pat Boyer from Desert Noises?
Yeah.
Right on.
The mysterious one.
The mysterious one. Excellent. Well, how about we give it a little listen right now?
I'm
So that was a song called The Ghost of Stephen Hawking's Legs, if you didn't catch that from some of the lyrics. And that is from Baby Ghost's debut album, Let's Always Hang Out Together, okay? So, thoughts? Let's get around the room here. We have Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, Gavin Sheehan, Esther Moronio all here in the room with Angela Brown and myself. What do you guys think of the poppy punky gal?
I am a fan. I really like Baby Ghost. I actually interviewed them for our January issue, which will be out about a week and a half from the time this episode comes out. But yeah, I really like this band. This is one of the sillier kind of songs lyrically from the album, but it's really cool. I mean, I just like the energy. I grew up listening to pop punk, so this appeals to me, and I don't know. It's just fun. It's silly.
Do they get to play very much, do you know? I mean, I know, you know, Desert Noise is out on the road quite a bit, so I don't know how difficult that makes it for him, or if this is the project he gets to play with when he's at home.
Yeah, when I interviewed them, actually, Pat was on the road with Desert Noises, but they were telling me that all he does for work is music, so, like, when he gets home, he, like, calls them up, and he's like, hey, when's our next show, when's our next practice?
Nice.
So I don't think they do get to play a whole lot, but, I mean, they're pretty dedicated when they get to. It's pretty rad.
And they're all in Utah County?
One of them lives in Salt Lake, but the rest of them live up there.
Mud blood.
I'm actually really glad that I got to see them open for a ceremony, because I'll be honest, when I first listened to the album, I wasn't as stoked as everyone else, I guess. I'm not really sure why, because I thought maybe it was a little too cutesy, but when you see it live, it's a lot more raw, obviously, and it's also, like, really danceable. Like, I remember Angela was actually standing in front of me during that show. Yeah, she was just, like, shaking the whole time, and everyone was getting into it, and it was a lot of fun to see them live, so hopefully they
can. Yeah, I would have never thought of them opening for ceremony. That's an interesting choice.
Speaking of them live, like, it's, you know, sometimes you'll hear bands who do some really great vocal things on recordings, and then you see them live and it's not quite there. But Baby Ghost, like, they harmonize live just the way they do on that whole CD. And it's really impressive that they pull that off. Especially, like, when we saw them, like, with one monitor.
Yeah.
It's really virtuosic.
It comes through that they can actually do it.
Hats off to that. Like, and to stay, like, in key and hit the correct notes the whole time.
Yeah.
And you can tell that they're having fun. Like,
yeah.
They have so much fun when they play live. And they're making snotty jokes, and just, and if they fuck up, like, they're making fun of themselves. It's
nice.
And that's even a note that I'd thrown in our December issue, which you can pick up now. I'd written up the album as part of my top five, and they're one of those bands that you see so many in Salt Lake who start playing through the motions, like it's just a gig, like they're actually there having fun. And it just shows, like, when they're just smiling, they forget lyrics and just look at each other like, let's just keep going.
Playing.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Which is... Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, it's really admirable, because it's like, the audience, like, isn't really going to notice if you fuck up a lyric.
Yeah.
So it's good that they play it off and don't sweat it.
Especially if they're having fun, which Baby Ghost shows. The one I have seen is very fun. But they have a new 7-inch coming out in January, too, so... That's really rad.
Excellent. Hopefully we'll get a couple more live shows out of them.
Yeah.
Well, to download a little bit of Baby Ghost music, you can head over to babyghost.bandcamp.com, and you can get more information on them just by searching for Baby Ghosts, and that's a plural, out there on Facebook. Next, Esther Moronio is going to give us her choice for her favorite local thing of the year.
I picked Broken Spells and the song Nothing to Lose. This album is actually not officially released. It's just on their Bandcamp. They're currently searching for a label, and that's one of the reasons why they posted it online, so they could have their music easily accessed by potential labels and also fans. This band was originally from Provo. It was started by Joey Mays, who was a promoter and also the person who started The Compound down in Provo, which is no longer a venue anymore, but they started as the house band for The Compound. One thing led to another, and they all eventually ended up being up here in Salt Lake and acquired a couple of new members, including Madison Donnelly, who's from Jaws and Relief Society. She's an amazing drummer, and Chaz Costello, who is also in Jaws. He's a frontman, and he plays the bass for them. And so they're now officially a Salt Lake band.
Yeah.
They play a lot.
probably every other weekend you can catch a Broken Spell show. Usually like small house shows, sometimes at venues like Richard Street, Kilby, kind of smaller venues. But they are such a fun live band, and that's kind of why I picked them, because the shows that I've seen have just been so full of energy and so just like crazy and fun. And I love like small house shows, and they are the best at playing those kinds of shows. They play kind of a mix of garage rock and kind of some pop punk style in there and some surf rock. It's just really upbeat music, and but their lyrics are kind of depressing. For example, Nothing to Lose. I talked to Joey a little bit over email about what the song's about, and it's just, and it's about him being a loser for life.
When I did their localize, they chalked up everything they've ever done to quote unquote shiny, shiny failure.
Well, I definitely don't think that they failed with this unreleased album, though. I think that it's really fun. It's really simple, but you can tell that, you know, they had a lot of fun putting it together. It was actually recorded by Black Pyramid down in Provo, and they just played a live show in the studio, and that's how the they songs recorded it. Yeah.
I have a callback really quick. Brett from Baby Ghosts helps run Black Pyramid. He's one of the engineers down there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brett Meiselbach.
Well segued. Yeah. How about you guys? Have any of you guys seen these? Seen them live here and there?
Yeah, I've seen them once or twice. It's a fun live experience.
Yeah.
I have at the compound, but I think I was drunk, so I don't really remember.
I was drunk and I do remember.
I haven't seen them since their lineups changed. Last time I saw them play at the Woodshed probably like a year and a half ago. One of our Slug alums, Jessica Davis, was in the band for a minute playing keyboards.
Okay.
So I haven't seen them since she's left, which has been quite a while ago, but they were great then, I imagine. They're still awesome. Yeah.
Where'd you first see them, Esther?
It was the summer at some house party, and I think I was actually there to see, it was like a Provo band lineup, and John Ross Boyce and his Troubles was playing, they were playing their last show, I believe. Mm. Yeah, and so I mean, I wasn't even there to see Broken Spells, but they totally blew me away. I think that Chaz, that day, might have even broken his bass because he was getting so crazy. And the room was just packed, and there was like a tiny fan circulating. We were all just like hot and sweaty, and people were like moshing inside this tiny living room and just getting in Joey's face and singing along, and I was really impressed.
Nice.
especially by, you know, they have a lot of fans, which is awesome.
Oh, that's great. Don't you love going to see a different band and then you discover something new? I love that experience.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, why don't we listen to one of the tracks from the self-titled release that is out there on Bandcamp, as we mentioned. This is a song called Nothing to Lose. thoughts? I mean, I can speak as somebody who's probably a good 10 years at least older than most of the people in this room. that band totally takes me back to kind of the old punk I listened to in the 80s of the Circle Jerks, or your kind of your classic three-piece go anthems, pogo, fun, good time, you know?
Yeah,
having not seen them yet, that totally took me back on the first listen. It was great.
Yeah, when I did their Localized interview, they talked about how they just fucking love Reverb. And you can tell that those vocals are totally reverbed out.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. It kind of, for me, lends it a Jay Retard-esque sort of feel. You know, totally minimalist.
Yeah.
Totally not giving a fuck. Which is, it's cool.
Yeah, it sounds great.
This is more audio engineer talk from me, but I enjoy the old 70s sound where there was no pedals. And there was nothing to plug it into except the amp.
Right.
It goes right in. And that microphone reverb and distortion just make it what it is. Like, it's an echo that goes clear to the back of the club and comes back and makes you want to go forward.
Yeah.
It's raw. It's like eating a ham sandwich on some white bread.
Well, and when I spoke to Joey, he's actually from Memphis, Tennessee, and Jay Retard is one of his main influences, so that's probably why kind of hearing that. He's super into, like, garage revival stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Goner Records kind of stuff.
Nice. Yeah, I hope that doesn't mean he offs himself anytime. Right?
Well, Jay Retard. Don't follow too close in the footsteps.
Yeah, I mean, Jay Retard didn't mean to. But
yeah, neither did Heath Ledger.
Well, Joey seems like a pretty upbeat guy. He's worked at Greywall, and he's actually doing promotion for
Richard Street.
I
think his company's called Dead City Promotions. But it's also really cool. I mean, I don't really know if that garage scene that was in Provo a few years ago is still around. They put out that really rad compilation with KRCL. Yeah. Broken Spells is actually on it, but it is kind of representative of that sound that was going on, that, like I said, influenced by Goner Records and Burger Records and Jay Retard and that kind of stuff. So it's cool to have that in Salt Lake now and to hopefully see some of those kids migrate this way and kind of keep that stuff alive.
Absolutely. Well, if anybody wants to go out and download those 10 songs from Broken Spells, just hit brokenspells.bandcamp.com, and you can search for the Broken Spells on Facebook for yet more info and hopefully some show updates. It sounds like they play almost every weekend in neighborhoods all over Salt Lake City. Good to go find. Gavin Sheehan, producer extraordinaire, you are next on the list. Who's your band? What do you got?
This is Golden Sun. It's actually a project from Andrew Goldring, who, if anybody has seen Andrew Goldring rock a guitar, you really have to question why the hell he isn't doing a hell of a lot more. He's basically one of the best ones that we have going around the city, and he plays most of the all-ages venues, so it's nice to see someone that isn't just playing around to hit the clubs and everything. But he does his own solo work, but this past year he started up two bands. One of them was Your Meteor, who actually played at Craft Lake City, and they put out a pretty good album called The Retrospect. But he also started this one, actually started this one in 2011, and he gotten together with three brothers, Jensen, Chase, and Weston Meyer.
Hard to remember a name like Jansen.
Yeah. But essentially, like, looking at it, you look at the three of them and you can tell they're all brothers. It's like they cloned one twice. The way that they play, because everyone in this room has seen Birthquake, it's got that vibe of because they're a family and they've been playing together for so long, they know what each other is thinking. So he's got this really good band sitting behind him that can just keep pace and keep beat, and then he just goes insane with his guitar and does whatever he feels like. And they put together this kind of alt-rock band that's got, it's very subtle, but it's got some reggae influence in there, and a little bit of the, I want to say, early 90s kind of stoner rock that was going on that was opposed to grunge at the time. But it's been livened up a little with a sound of today, if you will.
Okay. He is an amazing guitar player, and it's fun to see him delve into different areas beyond what he was doing when he was like the teen prodigy thing. You know, it's cool to see him explore.
It's cool to see him ditch his dad and have his own band.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I saw him go toe-to-toe with Mason Jones, which, if anyone's seen Mason Jones play guitar, like, he'll go batshit crazy. He'll dive into the stage with it and just do the Elvis thing right there. Yeah. So watching the two of them duel once at Kilby was kind of a fun show to be a part of.
Yeah.
Elvis played guitar.
He can hold a mean fucking guitar.
Not trying to derail things.
He's got the coiffed hair kind of look, but he can play. Like, he can really hold his own. I really enjoyed this album. They had put out an EP called Wine Country, which was all right, but then they did this self-titled, which was one of my favorites of the year, and in another publication we won't mention. It's on one of my top 10 lists.
Yeah. And do they get, I mean, have you, do they play very much as this entity, or what's
their spotty? I think the brothers are all underage, kind of like baby ghosts, so right. You see them mostly at Kilby. They haven't really branched out in the club show. I think one of them's turning 21 this year, so that finally we'll get to see them at Kilby Court and hopefully book them for a localized, because I think they're one of those bands that we're kind of looking at now in their infancy, like Desert Noises used to be, and you give it one more album and they'll be ready to go and hit a national scene.
And yeah, hopefully stick with it. I mean, obviously Andrew's got a lot of talent. He can go in a lot of different directions, but it's cool he's focused on this. Yeah. Well, should we give him a little spin? This is from their second EP, the self-titled Golden Sun EP. This is a song called King's Cup. That was probably the grooviest sample we're going to have in terms of kind of the, there was a little loping reggae-ish tinge in there.
And it reminds me a little bit of like The Clash, like in Sandinista kind of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like the call up.
Good
Clash,
call.
But
it kind of, his vocals kind of remind me of like Calvin Harris almost, but like meets the XX. Not like goofy like Calvin Harris.
But
he hits those high notes where you don't expect him to go, and it matches the guitar up.
like just enough like dance swagger.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, what do you think of the dance swagger?
It's cool to hear him go in a dance swagger direction because a lot of his earlier work I was familiar with was just so blues-based.
Yeah, kid blues prodigy, or kind of a dime a dozen, or in, you know, in a lot of ways, anyway. You know.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
necessarily here, but. Mm-hmm.
So it's neat to see that he's, you know, he's breaking out of what people want him to be and kind of doing more of, it sounds like, what he thinks to do, so.
I really like the guitar lines, too, just, like, a very solid guitar melody
yeah.
that kind of courses throughout the track.
Like that he's using that old sort of the blues soloing stuff and taking it into a new direction that really yeah. works on these kinds of songs, yeah. I think.
Has a really cool anchor, kind of.
Yeah.
I also would like to think that the band is named after the Game Boy Advance game Golden Sun.
It might be.
Yeah.
Anyone have any insight on the name, Gavin?
No idea. I will say that this band sounds totally different than Your Meteor, because you put the two bands together and you couldn't even tell it's the same guy leading it.
Yeah.
You would swear that they'd just been two different projects from two different sets of people.
What's he sound like in that? I mean, what are they doing with Your Meteor?
Your Meteor sounds a lot more noise rockish, huh. but it's got a bit of melody to it, so it's there's this.
I don't think he's ever going to lose that, no matter what he's no. doing, it sounds like, but. Nice. All right. Excellent. Well, to hear any more of Golden Sun, please go to goldensun.bandcamp.com. And for more info, go on to facebook.com/goldensunband. Well, this is the weekly daily calendar, and of course, it's the week after Christmas, so it's pretty slim in Salt Lake City. I literally wrote down, go play pub trivia on Wednesday the 26th, because there isn't shit going on that night, really.
That's actually fun to do.
It is fun to do, and I've done it at Lucky 13 yeah. with Gavin, where I will note I beat Gavin on my only appearance there. My team. It was a team effort, but...
To be fair, Dan has never returned to defend that title.
I retired the champion.
Against a 26-time winner. Thank you very much.
So that is an option on Wednesdays at the Lucky 13 or the Piper Down, and Portia Early's doing it at Maxwell's now the same yeah. night. There's too many of them going on.
Is she a host?
Yeah, she's hosting the Geeks Who Drink at Maxwell's, apparently, on cool. Wednesday night. So there's an option. Flash and Flare, great local DJ, Planet Five Monks on December 27th on Thursday. There are some fine local shows.
Oh, I just said we party.
Yes. there's some really good local shows that week, though. The Rubes and Tolchak Trio are playing together at the Garage on Friday, December 28th.
Oldies Spaghetti's.
Old School Ogden People, Dre's Method on Saturday the 29th at Burt's with John Schumann, ex of Boxcar Kids and Massacre Guys. Yeah, see, nobody else is 40 in here.
No, congratulations. I heard you just had a baby, John. Congratulations. Yeah,
excellent, excellent.
And also, if you haven't seen Dre's Method live, you need to. They're
a blast.
Good band. It's just like, people say, like, oh, we play 80s hardcore, and it's just like, you're 23.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're actually, like, from the 80s.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I remember going to their comeback gig, and I was like, I'm not sure if they're going to make it through this,
no.
but this is fucking fun.
They did.
They did. I love that they're back and playing again. It's a blast. And then, of course, the Eve bands were announced, so I kind of want to ask if any of you guys, does any of the stuff happening with the official Salt Lake Downtown Gallivan Center thing excite any of you guys? I mean, I'm a fan of Dirty Dozen Brass Band, but that's because I like cool. New Orleans
yeah.
stuff. They're playing on the 29th on Saturday.
Chick Chick Chick's playing.
Chick 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 on actual New Year's Eve,
and
which is, you know,
cool.
pretty cool yeah. for
and
Salt Lake
say,
and New Year's
I
Eve. Right?
I saw them play in Chicago for the Touch and Go reunion.
Yeah.
Or not the reunion, the 20th anniversary for Touch and Go, that festival, and they were incredible.
Yeah,
live.
That's a pretty good get for Eve.
Well,
that's
you can definitely really tell that they brought in Casey, who does the Twilight mm-hmm. Concert Series, to help book this thing. So we get something like them on New Year's Eve, which isn't an easy get to get someone to come to Salt Lake, period, on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Blind Pilot is playing on the 30th. They're pretty good. You know, the folk, Portland folk thing. David Williams is playing with them. You know, so it's interesting. It's a little better options than we have a lot of times in terms of these kind of big official parties, but...
It's really true, yeah. I mean, we're kind of lucky in that sense. That
yeah, and they haven't done it in the past very well with this same event, so it's kind of nice to get these kind of bands. What do you guys... I mean, New Year's Eve, is it... I know a lot of people like myself, it's kind of amateur hour out there in a lot of ways, so
yeah.
I tend to house party a lot on New Year's Eve, but do you guys have anything that is either on your calendar for this year or that you do every year that you could share?
Well, last year I went to a Grizzlies game,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's actually a Grizzlies game on New Year's Eve, so I'll probably go to that. But I also went to bed at like 11 o'clock last year, so
nice.
We'll see how that goes.
Nice.
It's almost become tradition for my other gig, but I go to Burt's at New Year's Eve because they have shaving cream fights, and more than likely there's at least two people that'll get kicked out.
And this year they have Mame for Life, they have the Salt Lake Spitfires we just had on the podcast.
Yeah,
the
Supreme Sound System and the Wild Ones. Yeah. If you want to see Slugganum, Bill Frost play bass.
Yeah, yep.
Also, like, cool old punk rock people, speaking of old punk rock people.
They will be at Burt's on that night, that's right.
Last year I went to Jackalope, and I feel like, along with any other bar, you were correct, it's definitely amateur hour. I think I'm going to be hitting the house part.
The house circuit party, somewhere.
Small house party circuit this year.
Yeah, what's your address, Dan?
Right downtown.
You guys can come hang out with me, because last year I sat on my kitchen floor and drank wine by myself.
Oh. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, as long as it was happy wine on the floor. I mean,
you know, I've thrown myself
coffee mug.
I've thrown myself white trash wine and cheese parties where I drink like my parents' wine, eat American, not white trash singles, but I eat cheddar cheese with like French bread and watch South Park, and so
there's nothing wrong with that.
What's your address, Alex?
That's not cheese. That's yellow plastic.
Yeah, the biggest bummer is it's like the only night in this town that you can't get a cab to save your life to try to get home if you actually do go out. It's impossible. They quit answering the phone at like midnight, basically. So
they are free.
That's probably part of the problem, I guess. You cannot get one, even if you go to a house party that you need a ride home from.
That's why you ride your bike.
Yeah.
And then get run over by the drunk people.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Angela?
You know, I haven't planned that far ahead, which is kind of odd because normally I plan ahead. But I'm just going to see.
One of those years.
Yeah, where the wind blows me. We'll see what happens.
You can come drink on the kitchen floor of my parents' house if you want.
There you go. Bring the wine.
You might have to bring the wine.
I'll bring the wine, you bring the cheese out.
But come to Burt's first and get kicked
out. Cash Valley.
Go to Burt's early. There's four bands. There'll be someone playing pretty early. You can still skate out of there when you still can get a cab, maybe. A couple other shows that night that are worth noting. Coco Montoya for the Blues fans is at the State Room. People Under the Stairs with Chase 1-2 at Urban Lounge. I'm sure that'll be a big show, so it's not totally a wasteland out there on New Year's Eve, and that's kind of nice. Sometimes it is.
Options.
As always, go to slugmag.com and check out the daily calendar every day. New stuff going in there all the time. You can put a free event in there yourself. You can also pay $5 a month, $50 a year, add some awesome quality content to your listings at all times. Back to the local music. Ricky, you picked an epic 1-2 combo, 9-minute. I haven't listened to a song that long since Yes made an album.
I did not realize it was that long.
No, it wasn't that long.
I am not that surprised, actually.
But it is, yeah. It was two bands joining forces. Tell us a little bit about what you picked.
So I picked, it's a collaborative song from Huldra and Dustbloom. They put out a Split album earlier this year. I'm really a big fan of Split releases. It's just a cool way to discover another band. Like, I'm a fan of Huldra. They're, like, reminiscent of the ambient, I don't even know, atmospheric kind of metal, such as Isis, Rosetta, Neurosis, stuff like that. So that's the kind of stuff I like to listen to when I, like, need to think about my life. Or, like, concentrate on writing or something.
It's good to work.
That's why you didn't notice that play length.
Yeah, I really like to listen to that kind of stuff when I am working. Yeah, so Huldra's really cool. One of my favorite local bands. And they teamed up with Dustbloom, who is kind of more like a post-hardcore kind of band. They sound a bit like Deftones. They're kind of reminiscent of like the late 90s, early 2000s kind of bands that were popular among kids who wore, you know, studded belts and tight jeans and swooped hairdos. But that might make them not feel good. But, I mean, they're a cool band. They opened for Converge a few months ago. I think it's really cool that these two bands created their own songs and then also created collaborative songs. So everyone on each of these bands is playing on this song, and the singer for Dustbloom has a really big vocal part, which is different from Huldra, where their vocals are not that prominent. It's usually just like screams, shouts, like a lot of kind of just go along with the big riffs and stuff like that. It's just an interesting kind of song. I mean, I reviewed it a few months ago for Slug, and I said that the collaborative song didn't really do it for me, mostly because the vocals were a little different than what I was used to, but it really grew on me, and it's a really cool song.
I love the fact that they actually did collaborate and didn't just have a split release, which happens all the time.
I mean,
that was a really cool aspect of it, for sure. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Three songs each, and then this one collaboration, which we're going to listen to in its entirety, Gavin? Yes. Hell yeah, we are.
Do you have a bong?
Yeah. We're going to pass it around a couple times.
And that make the show a hell of a lot more interesting.
Well, let's listen to it. This is Dust Bloom and Huldra together. There aren't people to unsee and things to undo from the self-titled Split EP. Thank you. Dust Bloom and Huldra. Ricky, you want to follow up on that? We just did hear both bands coming into play in one song. That's kind of a treat.
Yeah, it's really cool. Especially kind of, it starts kind of sounding more like a Dust Bloom song, and then it kind of turns into more of a Huldra sounding song with kind of the build, the big, thick, heavy riffs, the kind of like slow but really heavy movement, and then like the vocals, it goes from Dust Bloom's vocalist and Huldra's vocalist comes in and they kind of share. They kind of have the more, I wouldn't say higher pitched, but kind of the more screamy vocals of Dust Bloom with the more guttural kind of growly vocals of Huldra. I really like that. I like that kind of interplay. It's just, I mean, like we were saying, it's just really cool to see two bands collaborating. And yeah, I just think it's a really cool concept. I mean, it's one that I haven't really seen a lot in the local music scene, especially.
Right. Yeah, the fact that it actually works and it sounds, you know, it sounds worthwhile that they actually did it. It's hard enough to have one band get along and make something good, having two bands who aren't even in the same band have it work.
I think it's kind of the ideal situation. You only have to do it for like a couple, one or two songs.
Right.
Something that really sticks out for me with this track is something that I've noticed from Huldra before with Matt's vocals is that they kind of lie into the track and where, like, those very aggressive guttural vocals are almost soothing in a way and very fluid. Mm. And I think that Dust Bloom's vocalist kind of enhances that aspect. I mean, it's a very, like, slow tempo track, but that notwithstanding, just, like, the sort of, just, I guess, smoothness that they both do it on really sort of goes to show, like, the versatility of what metal and, well, yeah, and death growls can be for me.
It actually builds into something that makes sense together over the course of that song.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, go ahead, sorry.
Well, yeah, it's just like where the death growl is another technique. Like, as it's very orchestral for me. It's like it could be like a clarinet in a symphony, death growl in a symphony,
right.
Symphonious death growl.
Do we know if they've tried to play this live, this track live?
No,
I have no idea. I know that they played one show. I'm sure they played multiple shows together, but they did a release show back in June. But I don't know. I wish I would have gone to us so I could have seen
it. I've seen them play at Burt's, and they didn't attempt it. In fact, they separated themselves because they didn't want to be put in that position of trying to, like, one follow up the other. I guess it's just an experiment in noise that they wanted to try, and it worked out great on the album, but who knows if it'll ever work out live or not.
What a great idea, though.
Yeah, lightning in a bottle. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really good. And Huldra actually just finished up a new album. It's coming out. They have a release show on January 12th at the Shred Shed. It's really cool. I've heard it. You'll hear music from it on Soundwaves in a few weeks, so check that out.
And to download this album of the two bands together, Dust Bloom and Huldra, you can go to huldrathaband.bandcamp.com. And for more info on both groups, just search for them on Facebook, Dust Bloom or Huldra. All right, we are up to Alexander Ortega's choice of the year. What do you got?
I have Final Spell by Visigoth, which is their classic heavy metal band from Salt Lake City. Jake Rogers, their front man, is like, well, I guess Rob Halford's not dead, but if he were, he'd be like the reincarnation of Rob Halford. And something I really enjoy about their sound is just, well, a lot of it has to do with Jake, but just like the solid way in which they perform, the solid way in which they write. And they just harken back to that classic heavy metal sound, which I really enjoy.
I absolutely do that.
And a lot of times when you're listening to metal, a lot of it is really underpinned by being like aggressive and just like, you know, drink, fight, fuck kind of mentality transposed over into a musicological realm. But with this, it's, you know, it's still rocking, but, like, there's some still, like, some refined skill from each and every one of these musicians. Matt Brotherton plays bass in this band as well. And there's also just a very solid sense of finesse. Also, the lyrical content. Some people out here will know what I'm talking about, but if you've ever known that only a wall can defend and that a sorcery can only be played at your turn...
This is the band for you.
And if you have creatures with flying,
that... I hate creatures with flying.
That you're going to win, probably.
Yeah. Should we explain to people what you're talking about? Because it's sad, I know.
This is
Only those
spell.
Who know shall know. Let's hear a little bit of the final spell from Visigoth. We'll be right back. Visigoth. That is some classic sounding shit, no doubt about it. Maiden, oh, yeah. Priest, and they're only a couple years old, these guys. This band, the band, I mean, Visigoth. Yeah, they're 2 year olds playing that shit. Yeah.
Though they probably do incarnate the old barbaric tribes, the Visigoths, that the Romans fought. Just so you know, that's where their name comes from.
Yeah, that's right.
Something I really love about their sound is Jake's vocal register, too. A lot of times when people do the classic heavy metal thing, they go for this falsetto thing, and I like that he just goes with his natural voice and then eclipses into falsetto, because I think it really just adds to the dynamics of their recordings and their performances. And of course, Mikey T's their drummer, a local favorite in my book.
Where do the bands, where do the metal bands get all their gigs these days? It has to be all ages shows? Is it...
Birds.
All birds all the time. I mean, Club Vegas is long gone. That used to be a mainstay.
Club Vegas is kind of like West Valley metal.
Too. Right, right.
Never good metal. Yeah.
That was a good way to put it. No offense if you're from West Valley.
I kind of am, but that's okay.
We met Magna Metal.
There's
I grew up in Ogden. Yeah. Ogden has that same metal scene, but I think Ogden would love Visigoth.
But to a degree, when Club Vegas shut down, a lot of it migrated to Bar Deluxe for some odd reason. Mm. And that's where I've now started seeing the shows where lead singers will cut themselves open on stage and bleed for you while they sing.
G.G. Allin, throw some shit at the crowd.
Odium Totus doing their thing.
That's like a world away from Visigoth, though. Like, Visigoth, it's a fun live show. It's not like about intimidation or like extremeness or anything like that. It's just about...
It's about rocking out.
Yeah,
love fun. Of the metal.
Yeah.
Not love of being hardcore.
Yeah, this, compared to Ricky's choice, Ricky's song was more the Dustbloom Huldra collaboration was kind of more contemplative. This is more, you know, upbeat, something that I would ride my bike to. Kind of reminds me of a 90s Power Ranger like figurine commercial.
I was gonna say that, like, the guitar lick in this song sounds like it could be in a Power Rangers song.
Which we have played in the Slug Office.
Yeah, me and Alex have talked a lot about how Power Rangers relates to like classic heavy metal. But anyway,
well, like that Buckethead has a mean fucking theme song for Power Rangers.
It's not to be mocked. It's not to be messed with.
It's kind of cool how the metal genre spans so much music that's so different from, you know, one band to another.
Yeah.
Well, I love that this classic style of metal is going to survive forever. It never goes away. The fans really are always going to be there for it.
We briefly talked about it. Angela brought it up in the other room today. Just everything 80s is coming back again in slow but certain ways.
It's true, from the fashion to the subgenres of music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all there.
Also, what I think is really particularly great about their sound is that they're, even though they're not thrash and they're not, well, I guess, yeah, they're not thrash, they still have that new wave of British heavy metal sound, as opposed to also there's the stoner rock kind of thing going on, like a la Witchcraft or
Gypsy Hawk,
maybe. Yeah, that, like, kind of more of like that 70s sort of thing, but they still have the very succinct new wave of British heavy metal style going on, also known as Nwabum.
Nwabum, right here in SLC. Excellent. Well, to get more about Visigoth, go to visigoth.bandcamp.com. And for more info on the band, you can always go to facebook.com/Visigoth Official. Don't accept a fake Visigoth. Visigoth Official.
They actually have, like, a bunch of Facebook likes. It kind of blew my mind.
I'd hazard a guess there might be a lot of Visigoth bands out there across the world. I mean, that's a pretty sweet name.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good choice. Perfect segue into the thrashing metal of J. William Henderson, formerly of Band of Annuals, which is my choice for our little round table here. For people who don't know J. Henderson stuff, the lead singer of Band of Annuals for many years, put out a couple records. As always, for people who are regular listeners, I like to bring a little of the twangy, dusty, countrified stuff to the mix, and his solo debut called The Sun Will Burn Our Eyes certainly delves into that. He has a lot of great local players playing on it, a lot of pedal steel guitar, some great background vocals and harmonizing vocals from people like Sadie Price, great local musicians like Pat Campbell playing drums, David Williams adding some guitar, Dylan Shore adding some guitar. A really atmospheric record. You know, he's even a little downbeat for the kind of twangy alt-country stuff I like a lot of times, but a very distinct voice, I think, in terms of local songwriters and performers. And I know he's out there working this record still, and he's bounced back and forth from Nashville a little bit, and it's a great listen, well worth checking out. And I don't know, anybody have any thoughts on Jay Henderson or Band of Annuals? Anybody?
I was gonna say, I think it's cool to see him back around making music. I mean, Band of Annuals kind of typified a style of music in Salt Lake that was really popular about 5 years ago, and it's just cool to see people like that resurface and kind of keep making music.
I'd say it's regaining popularity.
Yeah.
Well, and I was talking about this with Josh Joy, our lead designer at Slug, and it sort of seemed like when Band of Annuals broke up, there was a dip in the alt-country scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there weren't as many bands kind of coming up locally, and it was kind of sad to see, so I'm happy to hear that, you know.
And they were kind of the forefront of trying to get our name out there. Like, they weren't what you would call a Utah representative. They definitely were just a band that wanted to be a band, and they didn't want to be like bands in Portland where it's like, yes, we're representing Portland. No, they they traveled throughout the Midwest and the Western U.S. and really got their name out, and they could have blown up, and then just as they're like hitting that peak, like we see so many times.
In Utah tradition.
Yeah. Jeremy goes to California, and what's his name? In Spirit Master. Can't think of his name.
Right.
He went and did his own thing, and then Jay kind of just became a studio guy. He sat behind the camera and did things out of his own stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of weird to see him just kind of pop out of nowhere with his own thing, but kind of refreshing, like it didn't die. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
and exactly. The Band of Annuals kind of split off, and now you have a lot of them doing their own different things out there that are pretty cool. And then
Charlie has a food truck now.
Thanks, that's right. And I love that food truck.
Which food truck is that?
Lewis Brothers.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Him and his brother.
Get the green fries.
What's his brother's name? From Tall Chalk Trio.
Oliver.
Yeah. They run it together.
They got the food
that's
truck.
Bad. Yep. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's a tasty time.
And I saw Jay, I mean, when he was working on this record, he played a gig, I believe, opening for Calexico at Urban Lounge, and he had sort of this mishmash, somewhat all-star band with him of people who don't necessarily play together all the time, but it was beautiful, and you know it was sort of a one-off gig for them, because they were in the midst of recording, and it was just this really epic thing, and opening for Calexico is no easy thing, because they're just a great live band, but I had friends I dragged with me to that show, and they were just like, who is this guy? I'm like, he's a local guy. He's one of our Salt Lake guys. So why don't we listen to a little bit of this? This is from The Sun Will Burn Our Eyes. That's the name of the record. This song is called All of Your Demons.
Something to you before you let it die. You saw that letter and you hid it well for someone here too, just if I. Makes no difference, does it, dear? When you've got nothing in your skies, and as hard as you've tried to leave it alone, it certainly came back to your eyes. Whoa, 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 whoa. So now your father has left his chair for reasons you can't seem to dare. And it's starting to show in the strands of gray that seem to hang so listless in your face. and all of your demons, shorter names, they remain here just the same. It must be simple not to refrain, as long as it's done in someone else's name. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Stay tuned for the Slug Localized featuring Visigoth and J. William Henderson coming soon, I'm sure.
They're actually making a collaborative song between the two of them.
A joint split release EP. It's going to be awesome. And, I just love that stuff. I eat it up. It's great. Great sounding.
It's like a lot of lap steel guitar solos.
Yes, that's right.
Like with tapping.
And songs about lakes of fire and things. They can find common ground.
Yeah, definitely.
Romantic horizons and lakes of fire. Right. We watched the world burn too.
That was cool.
I would probably listen to that.
That's the unexpected is what we're all looking
that's
for.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, though. It was romantic when I was listening to that.
Yeah. It is. The album, it goes into some dark turf, but it's a really beautiful record, and the sound is great. He worked at his own Feral Frequency Studios putting this thing together. Obviously knows what he's doing sonically. I mean, it just sounded great. You get the right players in the right environment, and it's amazing what local bands can do now that 10 or 15 years ago, forget about it. It was not going to sound like that.
I really like in that song, the percussion comes from just like the hand claps. I just thought that was really cool. And even like the lap steel guitar is really subtle. It's mostly just...
Right. It's not some guy noodling out.
Yeah.
It's total texture.
And it comes in at a very like nice vantage point as well.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing he's a producer with his own studio, because an album like that, with as many people as were on it, there are people who go the Guns N' Roses route, where we don't hear from them for 4 years because they're trying to create their own version of the White Album in their basement studio with all their friends.
Yeah, they disappear up their own ass.
Yeah, we've seen it so many times, like, when's that album coming? I'm still working on the theme.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's nice when you have somebody who knows what he's going for and just knows exactly who to bring in at what point in time to make that album work. Because that's an album that if you look at the credits and the way those songs are constructed, some people that would have taken them 2 years to create and he did it in 9 months.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he has a vision and knew what he was doing.
He cultivated a baby.
And the simplicity, the simplicity, but altogether it is more than that. It's more complex.
Yeah, it's really, really clean too, which I mean... Like you were saying, Dan, like that would not have happened 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
It just sounds really just professional and nice and happy.
Yeah. And something I respect is that a lot of times when I hear those kind of Americana bands, they're having like very heavily implemented banjo.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then they kind of fall back on the honky-tonk sort of thing.
Right.
And I like that he's making songwriting that's just kind of like, well, it's country music, but it's, it's all country at the same time.
And he's not just leaning on the old tropes, the old standards to get through to fans who just like that stuff automatically.
Right.
He's writing interesting stuff, creating interesting sounds, diving in and out of each other.
And that's another nice thing. They didn't lean on the Band of Annual sound. Like, he didn't drag Jeremy out for one song.
Right.
And he didn't try to recompose something that sounded like the other five albums.
Even though he could.
Yeah.
He could have.
It doesn't sound like those records. It's a new thing. You feel like he's a new artist who's going into something new now. So yeah. It's pretty exciting for us twang hounds out there. To download the album, you can check out jwilliamhenderson.bandcamp.com. And for more information on him, visit him online at jwilliamhenderson.com. Well, we've come to the end of a round table. Anyone want to throw in two more cents? What do you guys think?
Time for the square table.
The next square table.
There's been a lot of really cool local music this year, and we've covered a lot of it on the podcast. Like, I mean, I like more of the heavy stuff, so like Eagle Twin and Gaza put out really rad records on like big labels, and even like there's some new rad local bands like Ox Cross and Day Hymns, and even down in St. George, what's that rad new hardcore band? Fever Dream.
Yeah.
But also Eons played a show with them, and they were also great.
Yeah.
So how hard was it just to pick one when you knew you're coming into one to represent on the podcast?
Well, hard.
Yeah, it was hard. I wanted to pick a band. Well, I picked two bands, but I wanted to pick some bands that were maybe not as represented, not getting as much coverage. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff. So.
Well, and there's probably so much stuff that we don't even hear.
Definitely.
Out there. Like, you know, people in the basements that maybe they're not making the White Album, but they are making something cool and posting it to Bandcamp,
right.
But they're not sending us the link, so
right. Do that.
Yeah, if you're listening and you're in a local project and we haven't covered you, please get a hold of us. We
and I
hear your stuff.
And I try to do that for another purpose that we won't talk about here. I put together a list of every local album I can possibly find, and we're at 300 at the moment.
For 2012.
Yeah, so picture trying to go through that list of just locals, and it's not just the people we know about, it's the stuff that's on Bandcamp and the rare releases that nobody knows about.
Bedroom producers doing their own thing by themselves that you're like, what?
Yeah. The old saying is that at any given time there's about 700 musicians and 200 bands in the city, so trying to dissect that and find the best of that is a mission unto itself.
Absolutely.
Well, and we're actually compiling that list right now, and we will have it on our website with the dates that those albums were released and links to those bands so you can check them out yourself. That will be released in February. So make sure.
Massive undertaking.
On slugmic.com.
It'll coincide with our 24th anniversary.
Excellent.
Also, keep an eye out for mine and Ricky's upcoming band. It's a pup punk band. It's like pop punk, but instead of singing about girls, we sing about puppies.
Yeah. Oh, pup punk. Excellent.
Is the word burrito in the band name?
Probably.
Well, we got to have another band, a burrito core band. But we have a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds good.
We're artists.
We can go in any direction at any time.
Does this include the project where Angela's doing guitar and Astaire sings?
What?
I have not heard of this project.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing for January localized openers.
Openers, the band
Kermie
openers.
Is singing, Astaire's playing keyboards.
Recording right here in this room, no doubt, right?
I'm on
little
drums.
Little mini-release.
We have our own studio. We can do it.
You can do anything in the sound waves from the underground studio. All right, well, thank you for listening to the sound waves from the underground. For all things Slug Magazine, as always, visit slugmag.com. And we want you to help us with the next edition. This year is coming to an end, and of course, everyone's going to go on diets. I'm sure everyone in this room is going on a diet at the end of the year. Not really. But we'll be talking to Jeffrey Stevin from Yelp about all the healthy places to eat in Salt Lake City, and we'd like to hear your suggestions as well. You can send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on the automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line is available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Leave us something cool. We just might play it on the show. This podcast, as always, created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan, amazing multitasking as part of the panel and producing a show.
Yeah. Good job, Gav.
Very well done. Associate producers, well, we're all here. The associate producers, Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. Angela H. Brown, the executive producer. The theme, performed by Birthquake, recorded by Jesse Ellis. Main logo and art design by T. Doan, and technical design by Kate Colgan. Next week, join us as we talk to Scotty Soltronic, we talk to Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp, and Party Sober Clothing. That sounds pretty good. Join us again next week for Soundwaves from the Underground. Thank ya.